Andy Denny to come and pray over the word.
Lord God, we just praise your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We just pray that you have your way in this service. We love you, Lord, that you seek after us. You love us. Please be with Pastor Tom. Cover him in your wings, Lord. Give him the wisdom, the understanding that your word would go forth, that you have your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Acts chapter 2, as we continue on in the Lord's Word together. Wow, it's hard to believe we are 1 week away from Christmas, huh? All the shopping that's going on, all the craziness that's going on. How many of you read or saw it on the news about the craziness that happened on Black Friday, where a woman who was lined up at the entrance to a Walmart, or lined up in the store perhaps it was, to receive an Xbox on sale, I guess some Xbox kit or what have you, for $99, and there was a long line of people, and so when the time came to move forward in that line, she pulled out mace and sprayed everybody in line so she could get ahead and get that $99 Xbox. Tis the season for greed. And we know last year someone was trampled at a Walmart in a rush to get to all the merch. Pathetic, isn't it? It's pathetic what Christmas has turned into. Now, I'm not a Scrooge. I've been told that I need to push these down. Cuts my head off, someone said. And we'll have to keep working on it, working on these details. But it's unbelievable what has happened in this country, and really around the world, in the celebration of what we call Christmas. I don't want to focus on that this morning. Indeed, my message is not on Christmas at all. My message is completely different. But this is the season of gift-giving. And the season of Advent, where we celebrate as we lit the candles this morning in the celebration of the coming of Christ for the first time. And it celebrates the gift of God's Son that God has given to us. Where Jesus Christ, His Son, came to the earth. He put on flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And the angel said to Mary, you shall call him Jesus. It's Yeshua in the Hebrew. Yeh is a shortened form of Yahweh, and Shua meaning salvation. The Lord is our salvation. And in Jesus Christ, we have salvation. We are saved from our sins. We are forgiven because of what He has done. And we rejoice. Amen? We rejoice in the coming of Christ and this gift of His Son to us. But I want to draw your attention this morning to the fact that Jesus spoke of another gift. Another gift that He obtained for us through His death, resurrection, and ascension. And in fact, it is the most important gift that He has for us. Yes, forgiveness is important. Yes, justification is important for us. All these things are very important, but you must understand that those things could not be accomplished in us without this gift that He speaks of here. This gift is the gift of His Holy Spirit. The gift of His Holy Spirit to us. And indeed, everything that God does in us is by His Holy Spirit. Did you know that? We were talking last night a little bit about the grace of God, and sometimes we talk about the grace of God in sort of this spiritual, sort of ephemeral way, as if, you know, God's grace comes down from heaven in this, you know, mystical way. His grace comes to you and to me through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit has been sent here to the earth to do what? To convict unbelievers of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so even your coming to Christ began with a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus said in John 6, you can't even come to me unless the Spirit draws you. And so you are drawn. You are interested. You begin to seek God because He sends His Spirit who draws you. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is the most important gift that He has for us. For without this gift, we cannot live the Christian life. You and I were never intended to try and live the Christian life on our own strength. First of all, it won't work. How many of you have ever tried to live the Christian life in your own strength? You make a big mess of it, don't you? I mean, you thought you were in a mess before. And then you start trying to fix it all with your own strength and your own ideas, your own creative abilities. And you make a mess of it. You're worse off than when you started. You can't live the Christian life without the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be sanctified, set apart. We've talked about that the last few weeks. You can't be set apart. You cannot understand the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, you can understand the deep things of God. And we will have victory. We will overcome in our lives with the gift of the Holy Spirit and His power in our lives. And so the main point from this passage and the word that I believe the Lord has given to me this week is this, that by His death and resurrection, Jesus obtained the gift of the Holy Spirit for every one of us who are His disciples. And through repentance and baptism, we receive Christ's Spirit who lives in us. He fills us and He empowers us. This gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He comes to live in us. He comes to fill us. And He comes to empower us. This gift is the gift that is for you and for me. It's not just for the elite Christians, if there is such a thing. We often think about, oh, you know, you have so many awesome Christian preachers and teachers, you know, and boy, they must really have the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? God wants every one of us to know that the Holy Spirit is for us. Every one of us. He loves every one of us. And Jesus was not speaking to a group of elite people with His disciples, was He? He was speaking to the ordinary man. He was speaking to the ordinary woman, like you and me. And He wants us to know that this promise is for you. And we just read a few moments ago, this promise is for you and your family and your children. Even children can receive the Holy Spirit in their lives and be filled with Him. Luke 11:13 is just a quick scripture I want to give to you. It's been on my heart the last few weeks. And Jesus said this, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children or your family. If you are evil, and though you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those of you who ask Him? How much more will the Father in heaven give His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so we must ask and receive this wonderful gift that He has for us. It's unfortunate that throughout Christianity, mainly in the Western world, there has been this sort of hesitancy to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Sort of this, you know, we don't want things too messy, you know? We want to control, we want a nice, neat service. Right? We don't want, we don't want you to really interrupt us too much in our service. Oh, Pastor Tom, we don't really say it. Yes, you do. It gets near 12 o'clock and I hear them beepers going off. Now, I know I go long sometimes, but not that long. You know, and if something like the word that came to us this morning, I'm not sure about that. Why not? Don't you want God to speak to us supernaturally? Don't you want to know that He is in your midst? Don't you want to know that He loves you and He wants to speak to each one of us? Don't you want to know that? Well, I'll read it here in the Bible. Well, did He not speak to people who then wrote it down for us? Why can't He not speak to us? And you see, so there's been this hesitancy, this fear about the Holy Spirit. But you have to remember, He is the Holy Spirit. And so He is a gentleman. He is one who comes in purity and fullness and power. Now, I also know that there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on in Christianity. And I need to just be quick to tell you that I'm not so sure that all that kind of stuff is always of the Holy Spirit. There's an awful lot of flesh that gets in the way. There's an awful lot of flesh that is displayed in Christianity. We need to understand that. You know, and we have to understand that we are not perfect. No one is perfect. No great preacher, no great worship leader, no one is perfect. And there's always a measure of flesh mixed in. And you see, if you let that flesh run wild, you'll end up doing some crazy things. You'll end up crowing like a rooster. Yeah, I've seen that happen in some churches. I don't believe that's of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's of the flesh. I had someone say to me, I just felt like God told me to crow like a rooster. Really? Okay. The Scripture also says if someone is wanting to share something or do something, let them submit it to the leaders of the church. And I'm telling you something. I think if someone came to the leaders in this church and they said, I believe God wants me to crow like a rooster, I think we'd say, well, you go on down to Kentucky Fried Chicken and do that. You don't need to crow like a rooster in here. What's the point? You will draw attention to yourself. You're not going to do anything for God. You know? And so, I'm not one to quench the Spirit, but I think there's a lot of flesh. Let me move on. As we talk about this passage of Scripture here, and about the gift of the Holy Spirit, there's a couple of things I need to say, sort of preliminary things. Number one, that there's a lot of confusion about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, isn't there? A lot of people don't really understand what His ministry, and indeed who He is. The Holy Spirit is exactly that. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Holy Spirit of God. And as you read the Scriptures, especially in the book of Acts and in the Gospels, the Spirit is used interchangeably with the Father and with the Son. He is the Spirit of God, and He is the Spirit of Christ. And so we understand that God is triune, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Co-equal in nature and essence, but different in role. Each of them have the role. And Jesus said in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit's going to come to each one of us, and He's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. And that's so much more the reason that we need to read the Word. You see, the Word is the raw material that the Holy Spirit uses to teach us. He teaches and transforms us through the Word. There are many phrases that are used about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You may hear people talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, I'm going to speak about that this morning. You may hear people say, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You may hear people say the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And all these are very important things. But one of the things I want us to grab hold of here is don't get too hung up on the language and the words. As we're going to see here in just a minute, is the most important thing is that you have the Holy Spirit and that He is indeed filling you, meaning controlling your life. Overflowing in your life. Now let me just mention a couple of these things. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus refers to this word, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says to His disciples, He says, as He's preparing them to leave, He says, for John baptized with water. This is in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and you will receive power. And so, what does this word baptism mean? I thought baptized means you went down under the water. Well, indeed it is. Jesus is using an analogy here. He's using an analogical word, an analogy. He is our baptizer. And He's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, meaning He is going to overflow us. He's going to dip us into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice something with me. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Jesus said, in a few days, you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 2, we read this. When the day of Pentecost came, meaning it has fully come, They were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were seated. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Watch this, number four. You stay with me, say amen. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There's that speaking in tongue thing that has been from the beginning. But what I want to point out to you is this. Jesus said, you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Did He not? That's what we just read. Did we not? But when we read here in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says all of them were what? Say it again. All of them were what? You see, it's interchangeable. It's just looking at it from two different perspectives. To be baptized is the Spirit's action upon us. To be filled is talking about the state that I am. I am filled with the Holy Spirit because of His action of baptizing me. And so it's used interchangeably through Acts. In Acts chapter 11, Peter, talking about the Gentile believers, that the Holy Spirit has come upon them, he said, for Jesus said, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and they've given the same baptism to these Gentiles. Why should we not accept them into the church? There's that phrase. And then four other times that are recorded, probably many, many more, it talks about the believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so really, they're interchangeable. The way that we say it easily is one baptism, many fillings. Now, understand, it's an analogy. I've had a lot of people that get just really hung up on that word and turn it into a doctrine. Not only to kind of separate themselves in the church, but separate their church from other churches. I don't believe Jesus ever wanted us to do that. He wants us to know that His Holy Spirit is a gift that is for you and for me. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you may speak in tongues. So what? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I don't have love, what am I? A clanging gong, a sounding cymbal. But there may be also those that do not speak in tongues, and Paul makes that clear in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. And so, let's not get hung up on that. He gives many gifts, and it says He gives to each just as He determines, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just as He determines, not us. We don't determine. The Lord determines. I need to say that here at Iron Alliance Church, we're part of a fellowship called the Christian Missionary Alliance throughout this world. And you need to understand that in this fellowship, we are not charismatics. We're not afraid of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We were founded on the revivalistic ministry of the Holy Spirit out of our heritage. But neither are we charismaniacs. You see, it's not all about a focus on the gifts. That's not what it's about. In fact, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, right after He says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, here's what He says. And you will receive power from on high, and you shall be my what? My witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. First and foremost, the ministry of the Holy Spirit and His power is for us to be disciples and then make disciples. To be Christians and then make Christians. That's first and foremost. Now, there is the ministry of the Holy Spirit within the body and His gifts that He uses for us. That's not my focus today. I've preached on that before. But here's some of the things that Jesus said. Luke 24:49, He said, I'm going to send you what my Father promised. I'm going to send you what my Father promised. What did the Father promise? What was so important that Jesus would tell them to wait? Wait in Jerusalem until you receive what my Father promised. Well, we're told right in Acts chapter 2. If you're still there, look with me at verses 14 through 18. Brother John Rich, could I ask you to get me a glass of water, dear brother? I'm as dry as the desert up here. So Jesus said, I'm going to send you what the Father promised. Look with me, verses 14 through 18 of chapter 2. Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. This is after the Holy Spirit has come on them. They were so excited that it looked like they were drunk. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. By the way, just want you to know that I'm a young man because I have visions. I don't dream dreams. So I'm still a young man. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Listen, those who heard this, what impact do you think that had on them? I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people. Does that mean the Gentiles too? Yes, the Gentiles too. Can you imagine the Jewish hearers who were hearing this, who looked at Gentiles among them as dogs, unworthy of God's grace, unworthy of God's ministry? And God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people. He's going to pour out His Spirit on all people, not just Americans. Did you know there's a revival going on in the African continent that just puts us to shame? There's been a revival going on in China, underground, for decades, that puts us to shame. They gather for prayer every morning. They're up at 4 a.m, 5 a.m, for prayer together. And we struggle to come out to one prayer meeting a week. You can say, oh me, or amen. We struggle to these things, but there's a revival going. God is pouring out His Spirit all over this world, on all people, on all flesh. And Jesus said, this is that the Holy Spirit prophesied through the prophet Joel. Peter said this, through the Holy Spirit. It is the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is this gift? The gift, watch this, the gift is the person of the Holy Spirit. The gift is not merely power. Do you see that? It is the gift of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Spirit, not just power. A lot of people think, you know, the gift is power. You know, and it's all about me being powerful. And I'm going to display my power and my wonderful spirituality, how wonderful I am. It's not about that at all. The gift is the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the one who fills us, He empowers us, and He seals us. Thank you, dear brother. You are a blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14 is a powerful scripture. Charlie Moxley is going to read that for us. Okay, Joanne Nelson's reading it. No problem.
Says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory.
Amen. Thank you. And so, when you or I come to Christ, through repentance and baptism, we then are included in Christ. How? The Lord gives us the promised Holy Spirit. In fact, He puts the Holy Spirit in us and marks us as with a seal. The idea is there of a royal seal. We know that the kings of the day, the emperors, they used a seal to show their authority and their possession. They would take that candle wax, and they would melt that wax, and they had that metal seal, and they would stamp that seal showing this is under the king or the emperor's authority. This is his possession. Do you remember when Jesus was crucified and then he died on the cross and they put his body in the tomb and they put that large rock in front of it? What did they do? They sealed it with the seal of Pontius Pilate, showing that it's his authority that this is sealed. Don't mess with it. God's seal in you by the Holy Spirit is both a mark to you and to me, but it's also a statement saying, don't mess with my property. The Holy Spirit in you guarantees your inheritance in Christ. Oh, I thought my inheritance had to be guaranteed by my performance, Pastor. No, it's not by your performance. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that it's not by your performance that you are saved? Aren't you glad that it's by grace? And that by the gift of the Spirit, He marks you with that seal, the promised Spirit? And so you and I, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are His possession. We belong to Him. And we have His authority. Let's break this down in the few minutes that we have left together. Number one, to receive forgiveness of our sins and this gift of the Holy Spirit, we must A, repent of our unbelief and sins. We read that back in Acts 2, verse 38. That's what their response was, right? When they asked the question of Peter, they say, what shall we do? And Peter says, number one, repent of your sins. Repent. And they're cut to the heart. Why? Because God was working repentance, helping them to see of their sins that they needed to be forgiven. They needed to turn away from their sins and unbelief. Repent. Ah, but there's another thing. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, this is the initial step of coming to Christ. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this morning because in days past I have spent an enormous amount of time about coming to Christ. You need to come to Christ. You need to start a relationship with Him. And number one, you need to repent. You need to turn away from unbelief, turn away from sins, and turn to Christ in faith. And the second thing you need to do is be baptized. Now, it is not baptism that saves us. I'm talking about water baptism. Baptism is a symbol, an outward sign of an inward work. And guess what? That's a command there, isn't it? That's a command. Repent. And that's it. Is that what it says? Repent and what? Then why aren't some of you baptized? I'm asking a question. Why haven't some of you gotten baptized yet? Oh, Pastor, I was baptized as a baby and my parents took care of that for me. Well, He's not talking to your parents there, is it? He's talking to you and to me. Repent and be baptized. Did you know that in the Scripture, there is never an occasion, except for the thief on the cross, which is understandable, there is never an occasion where someone comes to Christ and they're not baptized. It doesn't happen. And yet, in our American Christianity, which is a mess, we think that we come to Christ and I'll get baptized sometime, Lord. You know, I'll deal with that command at some point in my life. And you wonder why you struggle in your life. You wonder why God is not growing you the way that you should be growing. Because you are not obeying Him. You need to be baptized. Now, if you've come to Christ and you've not been baptized, I've said this before, there's an issue. There's an issue in your heart that you need to deal with. I want to move on from that because we see their response, verse 41. 3,000 are baptized that day. They respond to the message of the Lord, and they're baptized. And they receive this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. What about you? You need to get baptized? I'm going to have a call at the end of the service. And if you're willing, we don't have time to do a baptism today, but if you're willing, I want to invite you to come before the Lord with that willingness of heart. So when we respond in obedience and repentance, and we are baptized, then comes another issue. Number two, when you come to Christ and you receive the gift of the Spirit into your life, you receive the Spirit, there's another issue. The issue is an issue of control. Who is going to be in control of my life? And so number two, we're told in Ephesians 5:18, we are to keep on being filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be being filled is what it says. Be continually filled. Someone asked me one time, well, Pastor, you talk a lot about being filled with the Spirit. Why do you talk about that? We leak. We're not like this cup. This cup is not leaking, thank the Lord. We leak. I don't know about you, but I wake up in the morning, and man, I feel very fleshly. Very fleshly. I wake up in the morning and if I haven't gotten to prayer and gotten myself right before the Lord, my wife asks me something, I might bark at her. Bam! Oh, Pastor, you're not like that. Yes, I am. You can ask her. Is it true? See? I can be a grouch. I can respond out of my flesh. Now, my sweetie is so good to me. She knows that before I have, you know, gotten woken up and had my coffee, she knows I don't like to get into big discussions and questions. My brain can't. I can hardly function as it is. You get me first thing in the morning, and I'm really a mess. And so she has grace and patience with me. But the issue is, in my life when I wake up every morning, the question is, who is going to be in control of my life? What is my life going to be filled with that day? You see, I'm not interested in a person that tells me, oh yes, Pastor, I was filled with the Spirit back in 1982, and that's fine. What about today? What about tomorrow? Am I going to be filled with the Spirit today and tomorrow? One baptism, many fillings. And the Lord has a filling for each one of us. It's an issue of commitment. It's an issue of surrender. How? Every day I surrender control of my life. Control. There's a word, huh? Most of us will describe ourselves as control freaks. You know what that's just another word for being in the flesh. Right? And I admit there's times that I'm a control freak. You know? And that's our flesh. We want to control things. We want to control our lives. We want our lives to be the way we want them to be. And so how are we continually filled? How are we being filled with the Holy Spirit? Every day, I ask the Holy Spirit in me, please take control of my life, Spirit of God. I surrender control of my life to you, Spirit of Jesus Christ. Fill me to overflowing every day. And guess what? There is a crisis point in this. I want to get to this, because this is really the most important thing I want to say today. There is a crisis point in this. Some of you have never dealt with this in your life. You have come to Christ, and His Spirit has come to live in you, because that is God's gift to you. But you have never dealt with this issue, this crisis of who is going to be in control of my life. And you live out your Christian life, really, with you being in control of it. And you have a safe, boxed-in life with not too much that messes you up. Occasionally somebody bumps up against you and you really don't like that. Maybe once in a while God tries to break through that wall that's there. And you are in control of your life and you've never dealt with this issue. This is an issue of crisis. You must come to the place of understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that means Master. That means boss. That doesn't mean He's just the one that I go and worship on Sundays. That's what we've relegated our Christianity to in this country. Well, you know, Jesus is my Lord. That means I go to Bible study on Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights, and I go to church on Sundays. That's what Jesus is Lord means. That's not biblical Christianity. That's not being filled with the Spirit. That's not being filled in our lives. No, it's every day I surrender control of my life, and you and I have to make a decision. Who's going to be in charge of my life? Who's going to run my life? Some of you are dealing with that right now. You wake up in the morning, and you're running your life. And you come to the end of the day, and you're frustrated, and you're wore out, you're burned out, and you wonder why. It's because you are in control of your life and you're not letting the Holy Spirit fill you, meaning control you. And so number one, it's an issue of surrender of control. Number two, under number two, I deal with sin in my life. I ask forgiveness and I ask cleansing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who applies the blood of Christ to forgive me and cleanse me. We talked about that last week, how that stain of sin is cleansed from our lives, not just once, but every day. I surrender. And then, purposely, intentionally, I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me with power, spiritual power. I ask Him to fill me with that spiritual power. Power for what? Power to be set apart in my life. Power to worship. Did you know you can't even really worship the Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? I'll tell you why some of you folks come in here. And your hands are hanging down at your side. And you barely sing the song. You're so worried about what somebody else is going to think about you. You're worried about, you know, you don't want to look foolish. And you're missing the blessing. is because you're not letting the Spirit control you. You're not letting the Spirit fill you so that you can worship in freedom and in truth. You can lift your heart to the Lord and say, Lord God, I praise You because You've filled me with Your Spirit and I worship You. I connect with You. Some of you are, you're still there. You're bumping up against the door. And you haven't let go and gone in. Why? What are you afraid of? You afraid of someone's going to think you're foolish? We're all foolish in here. Y'all are foolish. Let me tell you right now. We're all knuckleheads. We're all Jesus freaks in here. So what? Get over it. Stop worrying about what people think and start worrying about what God thinks. Let Him fill you with Holy Spirit power so you can worship Him. Watch this. Power to read and understand His Word. I don't know how many people talk to me. They say, Pastor, you know, I read the Bible and I just can't understand it. It just doesn't make any sense. Pastor, I start reading the Bible and I fall asleep. In fact, I use the Bible for my sleeping pill. I've heard people say that to me. I need to fall asleep, I just start reading the Bible. If that's the relationship that you want in your life, be happy. God bless you. But if you want more, I'm telling you, God has more for you. God has more for you and me. He wants you to understand His Word. He wants you to have revelation knowledge in your life. He wants you to understand who you are in Christ. He wants you to understand how much of His riches and glory and honor and His love that He has for you. But you got to be open. You got to lay it down. He wants you to have power to overcome anything that the enemy throws at you. He wants you to have power to be able to put on the armor of God. We went through this series in the men's group. To put on that armor of God, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I wonder if I ask the men to put their hands up to see how many of them are putting on the armor of God every day. I wonder how many would answer. I'm glad to see that. Power to do that, to put on that armor, to put on that protection that God has for us every day, to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Power to love my enemy. There's a hard one. Power to love that person that cuts me off in traffic when on the way to work. I know that's a foothold for some of y'all. Power to obey the Lord, even when it's going to cost me greatly. Power to resist sin. Power to see His gifts and His anointings released in my life. Power to minister to other people. Power to grow and become more and more like Jesus. None of these things will happen in your life without the ministry and the fullness and the filling of the Holy Spirit in you. Do you understand that? Everything comes by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you and me. And power, finally, to become the man or woman of God that He wants me to be. Power for that destiny that He has for my life. Some of you have said to me, Pastor Tom, I'm not sure what God has for my life. Well, you know what? He will show you. But He's not going to show you, with some simple, straightforward, fall out of the sky thing. No, it's going to come through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's going to come through you seeking Him. It's not going to come through the flesh. It's going to come through Holy Spirit fullness in your life. Number three, watch this. And then the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, in my life, when I am filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit's going to flush everything out of us that is not of Jesus. We talked about that cleansing. That beautiful ministry of the Spirit that cleanses us. How many of you need cleansing in your life? Like me. That stain of sin that we sang about earlier. He wants to cleanse that. All that baggage that you and I carry from the past. He wants to cleanse that. He wants to clean that out of us. He wants, and that's what we call sanctification. That's that process that we've been talking about. But that sanctification process has to start with a decision, a surrender in our life. The Holy Spirit setting me apart and making me holy. What does He need to flush out of your life? What does He need to flush out of my life? Besetting sins. Some of us are struggling with anger and resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. And Jesus, by His Holy Spirit, wants to flush that out of your life. Some of us are struggling with lust, pornography, unfaithfulness, Jesus wants to flush that out of your life. That's an epidemic. And it's in the church. It's an epidemic in this world. It is a tool of Satan that he has brought against people because he hates people. And he wants them to be bound up, captive to these kinds of things. Greed, where you're a workaholic. All you do is work. All you think about is getting that next paycheck so you can get more stuff, buy more things. Idolatry. These are the kind of things God wants to flush out of our life. A lazy spirit. Some of us have confessed we have a lazy spirit. We're just lazy. And God wants to flush that out of our lives by the Holy Spirit. There's footholds. Some of us have footholds in our life. It's a place where the enemy has gotten a hold of because we have repeated a sin or we've opened ourselves up to darkness through a particular sin. Those, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody because I've been there myself, abuse of drugs, abuse of alcohol, abuse in the occult, all those kinds of things. But you know, you can also open a foothold with anger. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 4, do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the enemy a foothold. You can give a foothold by embracing anger in your life. And then you wonder why you have this uncontrollable rage. It's because the enemy has gotten a foothold. And then he builds a stronghold, a wall between you and God. He takes that foothold and he builds it into a stronghold. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 18, I believe this is the scripture that Charlie and Aaron are going to read together.
Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit.
Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with this wonderful, marvelous gift that God has for you. Be filled with His power. Why? So that you can live this life in power, in purity and wholeness, so that God can flush out all those things in us that are not of Him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and we'll sing that beautiful song in closing. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. As they're coming, I want you to focus with me just a few more minutes. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to open the altar. There are some of you, you need to come to Jesus today. You're sitting here this morning and most of what I've said just gone right over your head. You have no idea what I'm talking about. All you hear is, wah, 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 wah. What's it, Linus's and Charlie Brown's teacher, right? That's because you've not come to Jesus yet. And so this doesn't make any sense to you because it's discerned and understood by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so if you're ready, if you know you need to come to Jesus, then I'm going to invite you to come on up here this morning. Come on up and ask Jesus Christ into your life. Second, there are those of you who know Jesus, but you've resisted Him for a long time. You've resisted giving control of your life to Him, and therefore His Spirit is grieved in you. His Holy Spirit is shrunk and shriveled in you because you have not obeyed Him and surrendered control of your life. You are not being filled. You are not continually filled because you've been resisting. I'm going to invite you to come. We want to pray over you to have a fresh filling. Surrender your life to God that the Holy Spirit can fill you to overflowing. And then thirdly, there are those of you today that you understand what I'm talking about, but you need a fresh filling of the Lord. Maybe there's something you're struggling with and you need the Holy Spirit to flush that out of you today. You need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to move in you in power and deliverance and healing. Maybe you're here today and you feel like that hard sponge that sits on the side of the sink that dries up. There's no water in it. And you could take that sponge and you could break it so easily. So many of us feel broken. But you fill that sponge with water and it's pliable. You can twist it, turn it, it doesn't break. And that's what happens to us in our lives. This life is horrible. We're constantly assailed and assaulted by the evil one. He uses other people, he uses even Christians to hurt us, to wound us. But we need that water of his Spirit to flush out that stuff in us, to get rid of it. So if you need a fresh filling, if you need the Lord to flush something out of you, I want to invite you to come and receive from the Lord. I'm going to ask my elders to come forward and be ready for prayer. I'm going to ask a couple of my deaconesses to come forward and be ready to receive people for prayer. We're going to stand and sing this song together. Jesus paid it all. And if you sense the Lord, you want something from the Lord, you want His Holy Spirit, you come. You come as we sing. Hallelujah.